بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, last week we had mentioned a few of the baseless practices of the mushrikeen. And amongst these practices, one was that whenever there was any harvest of crops, then they would set aside a portion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would then take this portion and feed it to the poor. And with this, they would also set aside a portion for their idols, that this is reserved for our idols. And this would then be offered or placed in front of these idols as an offering. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we had mentioned that this practice was completely baseless. Allah had not instituted or authorized this practice. And in today's verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now clarifies and explains that He is the creator of all of these crops and fruit and harvest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not placed these restrictions upon you, as these mushrikeen had claimed and as was their practice. Rather, there is just one restriction or two restrictions. And we will see towards the end of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell us and explain to us that when a person is blessed with some harvest, some crops, then the only requirement from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he should pay his due, in other words, the tax that is due on those crops or on that harvest. And when he consumes, then he should not do so excessively. He should not make israf in his consumption. As long as he fulfills these two things, then there are no other restrictions from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah mentions here, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ جَنَّاتٍ, that He is the one who has created and who has brought alive for you different gardens. مَعْرُوشَاتٍ وَغَيْرَ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ, some of these gardens are trellised, in other words, like a vineyard, grapes which grow on a trellis. وَغَيْرَ مَعْرُوشَاتٍ, and some are not trellised, like those fruit that grow along the ground, melons, strawberries, etc. وَالنَّخْلَ, and specifically Allah has also created for you the date orchards where you are able to harvest dates. وَالزَّرْعَ, and different types of grain and crops. مُخْتَلِفًا أُكُلُهُ, and all of these crops and these plants, the produce from each one is different. We find the tastes are different, the usages are different. والزيتون, and Allah has also created for you olives, والرمان, and pomegranates. متشابهًا وغير متشابه, Allah says when you analyze and look at all of these crops, then you will realize that they are similar in certain aspects, but they are dissimilar in other aspects. And this again shows the qudra, the power, the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the capability of Allah, that He has created them alike in certain aspects, perhaps in color or in size or in texture. But in other aspects, like in their taste, they are completely different. Just an example for us to understand on a daily basis, a person at times may become confused between an orange and a nachi and a lemon. All of them look similar to one another. At times the colors may be similar, but the tastes are completely different. The usages are completely different. So this is Allah's favor upon you. And now Allah says, كُلُوا مِن ثَمَرِهِ إِذَا أَثْمَرَ, that eat from its produce when it bears produce, when it bears fruit. Allah has created it for you to consume, for you to enjoy. What is the restriction or what is the requirement? Not that you now should set aside for some idol or set aside some portion for Allah. This is not something required of you. وَآتُوا حَقَّهُ يَوْمَ حَصَادِ, Allah says the only requirement is that pay its due on the day of harvest. And what is meant by this, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has explained that prior to the institution of zakat, it was necessary for the people, whenever they had any harvest of crops or of fruit, then they were required to give a certain portion to the poor. This was the so-called zakat. And this practice now continued even after the institution of zakat. And this has been discussed by the fuqaha, that when a person, when his land bears fruit or harvest, then he is required to hand over 10% of this harvest to the Baytul Mal, to the national treasury. And this will be the so-called tax on his harvest, on his produce. So this is the system of deen, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And contrast this to the system that we find prevalent in the world today. A person is taxed on what he earns, he is taxed on what he buys, he is taxed on what he owns. And the taxes just continue and continue, at times exorbitant amounts. Here, only when there is guaranteed harvest, those crops or those fruit are in front of you, now you will be required to give just 10% away. Apart from this, there is absolutely no other restriction. And in fact, Allah then says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Don't be excessive. And according to some mufassirin, what is meant by this is that when you are giving the tax also, when you are paying and giving your due on your produce, don't be excessive in giving. Don't give away too much. One narration has mentioned that there was a sahabi by the name of Thabit bin Qais, and on one occasion he had gone to his orchard and he had taken down all the dates from those trees, and he then took a qasam, an oath, and he said that any person who comes to me today, I will give him of this. And it so happened that people continued to come one after the other, and by the time the evening had come, he was left with absolutely nothing for himself and his family. So Allah says, لا تسرفوا. Yes, help the poor, give the poor, but don't be excessive in this. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us, ابدأ بمن تعول, that when you wish to give charity, then begin with those who are your own dependents. And ulama have explained so beautifully that a person will get a double reward. On one hand, he is giving charity or he is giving a gift, and would that he is also strengthening family ties, because he is giving to those who are beneath him or those who are part of his family, even if it may be his wife, his children, his own dependents. So do not be excessive. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah does not love those who are excessive. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمِنَ الْأَنْعَامِ حَمُولَةً وَفَرْشَ. Together with these mushrikeen giving their crops away, they would also have restrictions on every animal. This animal cannot be consumed. That animal we cannot use for loading, etc. So Allah says very simple. From your livestock, there are those which are hamula, which are capable of carrying a load. Wafarsha, and there are those animals that are too small for this task. Farsh refers to something that is spread along the ground. In other words, these animals are so short and so small, as though they are just a spread over the ground. So you cannot now load these animals. But other than this, common sense will tell you, a large animal is capable of taking a load. A smaller animal, you cannot burden it. Other than this, there are no restrictions. كُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Eat from that which Allah has provided for you. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. In other words, shaitan will place all of these restrictions upon you. Do this, don't do that. He'll make it seem very, very difficult, very tight and restricted. But remember, إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, he is a manifest, a clear and open enemy to you. He is not a hidden enemy. He has declared his enmity for you. And therefore, only a foolish person will now look at someone who is a sworn enemy to me, who has taken it upon himself to mislead me, and still follow him, and still give in to his dictates and his whims. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.